of the Lord to go here and preach from this text. And so let's go to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Acts, the second chapter. Amen. Very familiar to us that are of the Pentecostal persuasion. Amen. Where I'm from, like I said last night, you've got to define Pentecostal. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's like that up here, but we do. So we have to say we are holiness. Amen. Independent. Trinitarian. Hallelujah. I got on my sign, a Trinitarian church with a holiness emphasis. I mean, I'm not picking on that certain sect of folks. And but I mean, when you come out from your church and they've tracked all your automobiles, you know, I mean, that's pretty militant, I'd say. Hallelujah. And anyway, we want the Lord to help us, if He will. And we enjoy always coming. Brother and Sister Gallagher are our friends. And since you're standing, I don't need to meddle any longer. Let's get to reading here. But we appreciate being here. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. It's good to see my friend Brother Height here and all the visitors. Amen. One accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Amen. Would you lift your hands this way? Ask the Lord to help us here tonight. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray that you'd move. Pray that you would, Lord, fill this place with your glory. Help us to be made usable, Lord. Help us to decrease that you might increase. I pray, Lord, that the power of the Holy Ghost confirm this message around the altars. Don't let us go home the same way we came. We'll give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Glory to God. Brother Ralph, can I get a little bit more? I'm just used to it. 22 by... Not on the house speakers. Don't blow them out. Just blow me out. Is whatever you feel, amen, led. That'll be fine. Hallelujah. But I preach this. My church is only 22 by 40. And so, man, I can lose my voice quick. That sounds good right there. It's all right with you. Praise the Lord. But I want to preach tonight, if the Lord would help me. I'd like to preach about the sonic boom in the upper room. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now don't try to figure it out, because you're not going to figure it out probably by my text. Amen. But that's what I want to preach about tonight. Amen. Here at Junction Hill Pentecostal Church. We are Pentecostal, aren't we? Amen. And the day of Pentecost, Luke recorded that they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Joel had already prophesied. I read to you, and it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And upon the handmaidens and thy servants will I pour out of my Spirit. All flesh, amen, that included all flesh, Gentile and Jew alike, sons and daughters. Amen. That signified it would be male and female. There was no certain age for, amen. He said the young men would see visions and the old men would dream dreams. No social standing. It didn't matter if they were noble and lofty and rich, for he said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon your servants and your handmaidens. Amen. The Baptist had come and preached. John the Baptist, that is. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there comes one after me, amen, whose shoes I am not worthy to unlatch. Amen. He's mightier than I am, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Then Jesus came and he promised. He said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even when the Spirit of truth is come, amen, the world cannot receive him because it seeth neither knoweth not. Amen. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. And when he did come, amen, I say he, I mean the Holy Ghost. He's not an it. He's not just a power. He's not just a force. He is a person. And when he came in a manner that has never been forgotten. They were in one mind and in one accord, in one place when the Holy Ghost showed up. Now I wonder tonight, are we in one mind and in one accord? Or have you come to church tonight because that's what you've always done? It's become a ritual to you. It's become a routine to you. It's just become something that we do. And whether we feel, amen, the power of the Holy Ghost, that's really insignificant. We've got a day that we are satisfied in going home the same way that we came. But when the Holy Ghost came, he came to fill, amen, and to fire up the church of the living God. I'm telling you, where did the Holy Ghost came from? Come from? It come from the throne of God. It was the promise of the Holy, amen, of the Father. The source came from the purest place that was in existence. It came from heaven. They were amazed. They marveled. Others mocked and attributed, amen, to earthly wine. But I'm telling you, this Holy Ghost that we have is more exhilarating than any earthly wine, any earthly pleasure. Are you hearing me? I'll tell you what I come to preach to Junction Hill tonight is we need a sonic boom in our upper room. We need believers baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need those that haven't spoke in tongues in a long time to get a refilling. We need a sonic boom in our upper room. Oh, glory to God. I need the Lord to help me. I preach in the jail twice a month, drive 75 miles one way. Brother Height, when you really get to preaching, hallelujah, they'll say, you're in the house, preacher. Hallelujah, you're in the house. Really, it's not me. Amen, but when the Holy Ghost gets in the house, hallelujah, I pray He'll get in the house. And before I'm through preaching, you won't be looking at Tracy Boyd, but you'll have your eyes upon an uplifted Savior who's ready to feel, refill, amen, give you a sonic boom in your upper room. Now listen to me.
We live in a day that people say Pentecost is nothing more than an emotional excitement. It's religious fanaticism. Some even say it's the devil's delusion. Hallelujah. I remember that story Brother Larry Wood tells. That man that got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. His whole church, amen, family was Church of Christ. Immediately, Brother Ralph, they jumped on him. Amen. Come on, it's just for the 12. What you got's from the devil. And this man argued with him. Thank you, Brother Gallagher. Amen. He couldn't even argue with him. He didn't know. And they kept pounding him. He finally said, well, I don't know if what you're telling me is true or not. I don't know if it was just for the 12. But if it is, I'm the 13th. Hallelujah. What he was trying to say, it's real, it's real. You can't take away from me what I got at the altar of God. I'm telling you, we need the fire of the Holy Ghost to fall here tonight in Junction Hill. Amen. Pentecostal church. Pentecost was one of the three annual feasts or great festivals of Israel where every Jew made its journey to Jerusalem. There was the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of the Harvest is what it was called, or the Feast of the First Fruits. And then there was the Feast of the Tabernacle, or Tabernacles. Are you hearing me? These folks made their journey at a certain time every year. 50 days after the Passover, they would come back for Pentecost. And although it was a feast day to Israel, and it's been a spiritual feast to the apostolic church, I'm telling you tonight, Pentecost is more than that. It's far more than that. Are you hearing me? Pentecost in Pentecostal terms is a doctrine. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, it is much more than a doctrine. I know it can be substantiated. Amen. It's strongly proved by the Scripture. Amen. We are Pentecostal in doctrine, aren't we? We believe in Pentecost. Amen. That's our faith. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now hear me. Amen. The speaking in tongues is not the end, amen, of this journey with the Comforter of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The speaking in tongues is just the initial sign evidence. It's the outward sign that something has taken place on the inside. Are you hearing me? Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Are y'all here tonight? We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've probably told this here before. Amen. But I was preaching a revival for Brother Floyd Parks years ago in Jay, Oklahoma. This lady was seeking the baptism every night up until 12, 1 o'clock. To me, it sounded like she was speaking in tongues. But she, and she was, really. But she wasn't satisfied. So I never told her. You know, I'm not going to tell somebody. You'll know it when you've got it. Finally, 4 or 5 nights of this, her husband come over, got my ear, Brother Hyde, and said, let me tell you what's going on here. I said, please do. Amen. She said, a few months ago, her mama, which was a cruise-o-matic or a charismatic, and she had come, and they had prayer. And as they were praying, her mom got over in her ear and said, baby, if you want the Holy Ghost, say, I wish I could drive my Honda. Amen. That's what he said. I'm just telling you what he told me. I wish I could have driven my Honda. And say it as fast as you can, darling. Amen. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Well, she knew better than that. Amen. She wouldn't do it. So finally her mom said, darling, say A-E-I-O-U. Amen. A-E-I-O-U. Say it as fast as you can. Listen to me. Amen. I don't care how fast you say it. Amen. You just said your amen vows real fast. I believe nobody has to crank your motor. The Holy Ghost is not a deaf mute. When He comes, He's going to speak for Himself. Are you hearing me? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Come on now. Pentecost, amen, is more than just a doctrine. We of Pentecostals have been distinguished by our praise. It has set us apart by our demonstrative worship, the clapping of our hands, lifting up our voices and shouting unto God with a voice of triumph, rolling in the floor, running the aisles. Come on now, dancing in the Spirit. It's all right to dance in the Spirit. Amen. If the Spirit's in the dance, are you hearing me? I know it's been abused. Amen. But we've been so afraid of wildfire, we have moved to the deep freeze. Our worship has become cold. It has become indifferent. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't like cold religion. I like something that's hot. When I go to Ryan's, I want the food to be hot. I wouldn't want cold mashed potatoes and cold sweet potatoes and a cold steak. I want it hot. And I'm telling you, there's a world out there that is hungry, and they're starving for something more. When they come through our doors, I pray we're a religion, amen, that is set on fire, that's having an upsonic boom in the upper room. Somebody needs to shout hallelujah. God wants to fill some folks with the Holy Ghost. I mean it. He'd like to fill some of you tonight. But you're going to have to get around the altar and continually praise and bless God. You might have to sweat. You might have to mess your hair up. You might have to do something that you said you would never do. But if you'll get to the place, Lord, whatever you say, I want to obey you. Any way you fix it, Lord, it'll be all right with me. Listen to me. Amen. Pentecost is more than a doctrine. It's more than just one of the dogmas of our church. I know it is and was. It still is a great phenomenon. Amen. But it's more, far more than just the manifestation of the wind and the fire, hallelujah, and the tongues. I'm telling you, it's far more than that. Some say Pentecost commemorated the declaration of the law at Sinai. Others say it's the day of commencing the proclamation and the declaration of the gospel and the birth of the church, when it received the first fruits of 30,000 souls. Amen. Come on now. But I'm telling you, it's more than that. Yes, sir. It's a great phenomenon, but it's not something that we, amen, as third and fourth generation Pentecostals need to shine up and place it in a curio, amen, a souvenir and a relic, amen, in some museum piece, amen, and look at it and sigh and say we're Pentecostal, amen, in word only. But I wonder, before this week's over, amen, can we let this community know we're more than just in word only? We're going to have a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. If I'm on your toes, just say, oh me, and grab up that rung. Yeah, woo! Come on here. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help you. God sent me to tell you, He'll give you a sonic boom in your upper room. Oh, glory to God. I wish I could preach. Come on now, but now we've got it. You know, we're Pentecostal in word, Sister Gallagher. We've got them, our trophies polished up in the curio. And we sigh. We hear so much preaching about how it was at Azusa Street, how it was in the Brush Arbors. We hear about all about the revivals that was. Are you hearing me? And if we're not hearing about the revivals that, amen, was, they're preaching about the revival that is to come. Come on now. But I wonder, amen, could we be right in the middle of God's providence? Amen. This week, this preacher from Louisiana, I don't know why I'm preaching what I'm preaching, but I believe God is ready to baptize somebody with the Holy Ghost. But you've got to hunger and you've got to thirst after righteousness. You've got to be willing to lay aside your pride, lay aside it all, and say, Lord, any way you fix it with me, that's the way it's got to be. We can't cram this Pentecostal blessing into an ecclesiastical straitjacket or some denominational mold. Pentecost is not something to file away in the annals of history and be relegated to irreverency and obliviousness. No, sir. Amen. There's a faithful remnant that's still preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't want to be hindered or handicapped or hampered by worldly wisdom or by unscriptural intellectualism or the cold-hearted Laodicean church age in which we live. I'm telling you, if it was good enough for Grandpa, it's good enough for me. Now give me that all-time religion. Oh God. Lift your hand and say, oh Brother Tracy. Oh, it's more than just a doctrine. It's more than just a creed. It's more than just a museum piece or a relic that we've polished up. Pentecost has a wide and a free and an open range upon all flesh. The promise is for you and your children and to as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Are you hearing me? It's not only for you, it's for your children. Are you hearing me? Listen to me, young folks. If mom and dad are not worshipers, amen, that doesn't mean you don't have to be a worshiper. And I'm not bashing mom and dad. Are you hearing me? Amen. But come on, children. The Holy Ghost is for you. Amen. You little ones, listen to me. My wife, amen, been saved all of her life. Got baptized with the Holy Ghost when she was 5 years old. She come to the front there at Fairland. Amen. Nobody was around her. The service was almost over. But God put it in her heart, amen, to come up and begin to praise Him. Amen. Shay was all by herself. Amen. Nobody around. And the dove of heaven, it lighted on her. And someone said, why voluntary? Amen. Shay's got the Holy Ghost. There was nobody there cranking her motor. Amen. Telling her to say Pepsi Cola, Coca Cola. Amen. She got what was real. I'm telling you, the promise is for you. My oldest girl and my middle girl have both been baptized with the Holy Ghost. But the other day, they had a friend over. She was having a hard time. They come in, they said, Mom, Dad, Caitlin wants you to come pray with her. So we did. We got up, we went in there, we began to pray for Caitlin. Man, they had that song by the Tallies playing over and over on repeat. His life for mine. His life for mine. My girls, my older girls, of course, no more, and they were worshiping, praying with her. But all of a sudden, I was looking at my little girl, my 3-year-old little girl, Kaylee. And all of a sudden, her countenance changed. Are you hearing me? She threw them little hands in the air. For 15 minutes, she never opened her eyes. And the tears, Brother Joey, were streaming down her face and just dripping. Hallelujah. She'd say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And do praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, she didn't get the Holy Ghost, but she'll never probably forget, amen, the start when the Holy Ghost moved upon her. I wish somebody in this place would help me preach. I'm telling you, Pentecost is more than just a doctrine. It's more than just a dogma. It's more than just a creed. It is an experience. I said it's an experience. Stir up the gift of God that's within you. Stir up the fire of God that's in your soul. Glory to God. But I got the Holy Ghost. When was the last time you spoke in tongues? Oh, I wish you'd help me preach. You guys had a revival here in 1981 with Gary Enfield. Many of you got the Holy Ghost. I wonder, is it as fresh and as hot and as fervent right now in 2005 as it was in 1981? Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Come on now. 1991, 92, Brother Matt, when was it that I come here? 91. I come, preached a revival. We didn't really see much happen to me visibly. I didn't. I have to admit. Amen. But I preached, and Brother Matthew got stirred up, and amen, started coming early and praying. I don't know who all joined him. Amen. A few days later, Brother Gary Edenfield again come through. I mean, had a blow, amen, you away revival. I mean, I heard about that revival. Of course, I thanked God. Some plant, some water, some get the increase. Are you hearing me? Amen. But don't you think, Junction Hill, that we're just a little bit overdue for another Holy Ghost filling revival? Come on now, don't you think Junction Hill is ready to have a sonic boom in the upper room? Come on now. I'm telling you, Pentecost is not just a historical place. It's not just a theological position, but it is a living experience. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh God, I don't want to preach too long. Pentecost is an experience of faith. You hear me? Those men that were fearful, those men that had forsook Him and fled, they were vacillators. They were, amen, cowards, if you will. But when they got baptized with the Holy Ghost, amen, they had the faith to stand up and defend it. They were no longer an apologetic, undependable crowd, but a Holy Ghost and a faith-filled church. Amen. It brought faith in the promises that these signs shall follow them that believe. And greater works, amen, you shall do, because I go to my Father. It gave them faith in their mission. Go ye was no longer idle words, but they had tarried until they were empowered to go. And now their attitudes and their action were attuned to the gospel of urgency. They went forth and preached everywhere and daily in the temple from house to house. They ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, despite continued harassment and persecution and beatings and jailings and even death. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They had a sonic boom in the upper room, and they had a spirit that could not be tamed, a spirit that could not be harnessed. No matter how the devil attacked, they would not, they could not be defeated. Men, devils, angels couldn't stop them. They were set on fire. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. I said, I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Faith in the promise. Amen. It's not only an experience of faith.
Yes.
And I'm hurrying. Amen. Because I got to get to where I'm going. I'm getting ready to quit. I'm going to drop a lot. We need an altar call. Shay, be praying. But listen to me. It wasn't only an experience of faith.
Yeah.
It was an experience of fire.
That's right.
Brother Jeff Autry, pastored him for about 5 years. He's a neighbor and pastor now. He was a Baptist boy. You're a Baptist, that's all right. I'm just telling you this illustration, live illustration. He got around Pentecost, demonstrative worship, shouting. It was all new to him. They had went somewhere, Brother Doyle House had took them, and they stopped back by Fairland. Gary Edenfield was there. Yeah. Amen. You used to hear that a lot, didn't you? Yeah. He was evangelizing people, getting the Holy Ghost under him. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. But listen to me. Amen. Jeff was there. It wasn't the singing nor the preaching that got a hold of him. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost fell on about a 10 or 11-year-old girl. She comes shouting out the aisle under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was my wife. She was lost in the presence of God. Brother Jeff said he had never seen the glory of God like that. As that little girl, he said, no, kids, they're not going to try to make it up. You know, we've seen them when they're real young. Amen. But he could tell she was sincere. And there was something to it. And when she shouted by him, amen, just like this, it wasn't in the waving of the hand. Come on now. Hallelujah. I'd come back there and I'd wave my hand and knock all you out. Hallelujah. And get your fill with the Holy Ghost. But that's not it. Amen. But Brother Jeff fell on his back. Hallelujah. They prayed with him. He didn't get it right away. He didn't get it when they were singing. I feel it in my hands. I feel it in my feet at 120 miles per hour. No, sir. Brother Shaw was up at the pulpit and he was singing, how great thou art. Amen. And the Holy Ghost, like a dove, fell on Brother Jeff Autry, and he's never been the same since. I'm telling you tonight, it's an experience of fire, and we need the fire of the Holy Ghost to fall at Junction Hill. Pentecostal. Or have you just polished it up? It's Junction Hill Pentecostal by name only. It's Junction Hill Pentecostal because it's a historical fact in the book of Acts. We're Pentecostal because Brother Dwayne, theologically and doctrinally and with creed, preaches that we're Pentecostal. Are we Pentecostal in name? Are we Pentecostal in word? Or are we Pentecostal in deed?
Help us, Lord. That's right. You're preaching right.
It's an experience of faith. It's an experience of fire. This is where I want to get to. It's an experience of freedom. Too long, the devil has bound our services up. Too long, the devil has got us going just to a point, and he pushes us back. I come to tell you what you need and what this church needs and what our movement needs is a Pentecostal breakthrough. Are you hearing me? Come on now. We have, amen, for the last 19 years that I've been around holiness. I love holiness. I love the message. I believe it's right. Amen. But Brother Height, for the last 19 years, amen, and I can honestly say Brother Joey and Brother Dwayne have not been this way, but some are more interested in preserving a standard. Are you hearing me? And we'll preach. Amen. And we'll come up with new things to preach. Amen. And I'm not against a standard. Please don't misunderstand me. But what happened at Pentecost first? Amen. Did they get a standard? Or did the presence of God fall? I'll tell you what, to take care of a lot of our worldliness, if we'll get to the place that we can have a sonic boom and people get set on fire of the Holy Ghost again. We can't legislate it, Brother Perry. There's no way we can have a move of the Holy Ghost. Woo! It's an experience of freedom. I told Brother Bill this. Amen. The year, I don't know what year it was, I told him this illustration. Amen. He said, I'm going to use that. He told Douglas Meadow, and I think Douglas beat us both, unless they got it from somewhere else. But, amen, it happened so quick. Hallelujah. I don't know. So if you've heard it before, amen, that's how it is. Probably been wore out around here. But there's an Air Force base, amen, somewhere in these United States, amen, that the F-16s, when they fly over, Brother Ralph, they get real low. You can hear the rumble. Amen. And on that interstate, there's big old signs saying, pardon the noise. It's the sound of freedom. Come on now. Amen. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. I think we need to get out of our bands and get out of our stocks. I think we need to once again lift up our hands with wrath, without wrath or doubting. I think we need to shout unto God again with a voice of triumph. Amen. Then we'll just tell the world, pardon the noise. It's the sound of freedom. Oh, hallelujah. Does anybody want to get loose? Does anybody want to get shook loose? Does anybody want their prison doors to be busted open that you can get in the liberty of the Holy Ghost again? I might not preach the rest of the week, but I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Woo! Praise, demonstrative worship, has always been one of our marks as Pentecostals. We Baptocostal ourselves to death. What we call noise, God calls worship. Oh, come on here. The only difference between a lot of churches and cemeteries is cemeteries lay them down in rows and we set them up. Are you hearing me? A lot of tombstones. And we're called to be lively stones. Oh God. Oh, I need to preach. Amen. After 9/11, David Wilkerson, amen, read a poll or took a poll in New York City. After 9/11, churches filled. I've always said America knows how to pray, but she's forgot how to repent. Are you hearing me? We'll pray a little bit, but as far as turning from our wicked way, come on now, we're just as wicked as we've ever been. We didn't learn anything from the Twin Towers, really. Amen. Some might have, but not as a nation. Are you hearing me? David Wilkerson said they flocked the churches. They took a poll after a month or so. And most in the poll said, most that went, that weren't regular, said church was an unpleasant experience. No wonder today in our services there's so many sad, gloomy, painful faces sitting on our pews. The world sees unhappiness, amen, and misery every day, and then they come to church and the church looks like they've been sucking on sour lemons. Are you hearing me? They came and heard monotonous monologues, oily essays, sugar and spice speeches, little powerless peckings, amen, coming from the pulpit without any power in it. I want to tell you, amen, they observe our pews, they see our wandering minds, amen, our sleepy eyes, our yawning mouths, our dull ears, our joyless hearts. I'll tell you, amen, if there's never been a day, we need to shake it. If there's never been a day, we need a sonic boom. So now, there's probably some of you here thinking I've preached too long. It's amazing to me. I've been preaching 30, 35 minutes and I've preached too long. But you can sit down and watch one of them Whirly Gaither videos for an hour and not even think about it. Oh, I probably killed it right there. I'm not preaching to you nothing. I don't preach to my folks. But what do you get enjoyment out of? Do you have to be entertained? Has Brother Gallagher called me here to entertain you? Or did he call me to preach to you? That's what I come. By God's grace, that's what I help and intend to do. But God wants some of you to have a sonic boom. Brother Matthew, he wants some folks to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And he wants some of you to get refilled with the Holy Ghost. Come on now. I hope some of you This message is so salty, I've created a thirst in you. And you're smacking your lips saying, come on. Hallelujah, I'm getting ready to close. We come to church so many times with cluttered minds. We've prayed little. We've fasted less. We're living off last week's or last month or last year's blessing. Come on now. Amen. We come to church pressed down, stressed out, depressed, oppressed. We come in, we're always thinking defeat. Amen. We're always talking about quitting. I want to tell you, it's time to quit thinking like that. In the world of flying, there are terms used such as force and drag and lift and thrust and the aerodynamics of a plane. I'm closing with this. Amen. As a boy, I remember in Eureka, California, at Franklin Elementary School. I guess they've outlawed it somehow. But when I was a boy, that might be telling my age, I can remember sitting there in class and all of a sudden there would be a boom! All of us kids, the glass would rattle. The teacher would say, it's all right. You know, we lived in earthquake country. Hallelujah. Come on now. She'd say, it's all right. It was just a sonic boom. She'd settle us all back down. I remember that in my school days. But in 1947, amen, there was an Air Force pilot by the name of Chuck Yeager. Amen. They had asked him to test. Amen. Fly the first supersonic, amen, aircraft. Are you hearing me? They wanted him to break the speed of sound. The speed of sound is about 700 miles per hour. Now you know when you hear a little twin engine coming, you can hear it coming before it ever gets there. It's pushing and it's stacking up and stacking up. Amen. And the drag has got it pushed back because it's not traveling fast. And you can hear it before it ever gets to you. Are you hearing me? But they wanted Chuck Yeager to get into this plane, amen, and fly until he broke the sound barrier. Come on now. So Chuck Yeager did. The first few times he did it, amen, when he got right to where he needed to be, amen, that plane would get to trembling. The wings would get to shaking. And Chuck Yeager would not do it. He had landed. He said, no way. That thing's going to disintegrate. It's going to explode. But one day they said, Chuck, come on, you've got to do it. One day he said, today, amen, when I get in that plane, he said, I'm going through or I'm coming apart. Are you hearing me? Oh, hallelujah. That's how we need to get, amen, in this service tonight. Amen. Either we're going to go through or we're going to come apart trying. Oh, hallelujah. Chuck Yeager got in that plane. He kicked them jets. And again, he got to that place where the plane was just a quivering. And it was a shaking. And the wings were just a trembling. And he thought, my God, amen, this thing's getting ready to disintegrate. It's getting ready to come apart. But then he remembered what he had said. Today, I'm going through or I'm coming apart. But he radioed back to ground control. As it was pushing and pushing and stacking up and stacking up, he radioed back to ground control. Amen. He was confused. He was troubled. They said, Charles, amen, you've got one afterburner left. And you've got to pull that afterburner. And if you do, you're going to fly where no man has ever flown before. Amen. Come on now. So he said, here goes nothing. I'm going through or I'm coming apart. He reached down and grabbed, amen, that lever. Or I forget what you call it. And he pulled it back. Amen. And boom, that afterburner kicked. And boom, he pierced through the sound barrier. It was quiet. They were wondering what in the world is going on. Finally, he radioed back to him. Them. He said, there's nothing like flying on the other side of the sound barrier. There's nothing to hold me back. I'm telling you, there's places in God that you can get. Hallelujah, where you've never been before. You can get in a place. Oh, hallelujah. We've been in some services like that, Brother Gallagher, already in this meeting. Last night in that song service, I felt the tremble of the wings. Hallelujah. I felt the plane beginning to shake. I'll tell you what, tonight, there's one afterburner left. If we'll reach down and grab that afterburner of praise and begin to praise and give God glory, we can break through and break out and see folks filled with the Holy Ghost.
Have you got it like the Bible says? Fill with the Holy Ghost.